the wash comes out in the rinse. We got two speakers for you guys tonight. First one's going to be Tommy Kay. How long do I got? 10 minutes?
1 hour and 30 minutes.
Alright, I'm taking a half and how I take the rest. I came Tom. And this reminds me of Eckner we went to in Connecticut. We got there late. It was late at night, or I don't know what the circumstance was, but I know in the hallway they called Patty and said, hey, we need to do a workshop. And we go in there, and she was speaking, and I was the only one in the audience. And I talk to myself a lot, but it's hard to do on this platform, you know? So, I don't know. There is nothing I can say or do to express how I feel about ECHNA and how it's changed my life, my family's life, and everybody around me. And it has brought the people around me. So I didn't even know until earlier that I was speaking about like a washing machine, because I was just trying to figure, it's the dumbest saying ever. I hope Howard does much better than me, because I'm thinking what doesn't come out in the wash comes out in the rinse. So I'm wondering, I'm trying to be intellectual about it and try to figure out what that means. And then I realized that everything that I thought I knew what I meant when I got here changes, and I have no fucking idea what this means. I don't know if it means that it's a wash, what I think and start doing, and the rinse, what happens later in reality. It's a wash and the rinse together, a spiritual move, or it's a wash, my action, and the rinse, my consequence. You know? And I go, or is it none of that? Is it just a stupid saying to get me round up so I can just talk about some dumb shit, right? I have no idea. So I'm trying to find purpose in the 9:30 meeting after I was just blown away by a speaker at 8 o'clock, and I just want to go to bed. And so at least I go, I'm hoping that I speak second. Of course, you always want to follow up, so the first guy gives me some rinse. I need some Alex Watts so I can come out in the rinse. You know, is that what it means? I have no idea. So then I'm listening to people, but let me tell you something real quick. And I'll go back to ECHNA. In ECHNA, in 2010, you know what we were doing? Skype. Zoom. The faces that I see here, I've been looking at on a Zoom screen and a Skype screen for the last 10 years, 12 years, 13 years. Mike and Elizabeth and the people from Pittsburgh and Jeff, and it's all these people. And so when this COVID came around, I just had to find new addresses to hook up to and new things to get close to. And so as different as it was, so to me, it changed my whole life. Not that it made it, I don't know what it did to my life. It changed it immensely. What I'm doing today is the same thing that I did when I got here, but it's new. It just started. I just started going to my home group in person and hugging. We have popcorn. I just started making popcorn again. We just started making coffee. I'm going to a convention that I haven't gone to in a year. We missed it last year. And I didn't go to any conventions this year, and we usually go to 3 or 4 conventions every year. And our kids are graduating. But I got on the Zoom, and I felt comfortable there, but I was totally uncomfortable. I just wanted to go. But I was scared. I didn't have any fear from the COVID. I don't have fear at all, I don't think, in my life, but I'm scared of everything. I'm one of those guys, when I'm using, I'll fucking do anything it takes to get it, and I do the same for my recovery, but I'm scared that I'm not doing the right thing. I'm scared that maybe it isn't going to work. Sometimes I still wonder if I'm going to stay clean. And even when I know I'm staying clean, even when I'm doing it, I don't know. So here I am. I got ECHNA, and they dressed me and groomed me for this thing that's going on now. Or what was going on, the COVID. And so for me, The wash for me in that part was learning how to deal with people and how to be on a committee and learn how to run a convention and do those type of things on a platform that you could do from your house in your underwear on, you know, Monday nights, first Monday of the month. Anybody could go and go there. And so then I could go there every day. And then I come here and I meet a whole bunch of people that I know on Zoom. I know Anna and other people from San Diego and quarantine, and Dan, I see Dan, and all these people that I only see on quarantine. So I'm just trying to figure out as I'm going along here, I'm trying to figure out what the washing machine is. Does that mean that the step work that I'm doing today is the wash, but it isn't complete until it gets rinsed? Because I know when I use a washing machine, and that's all I could think of when I'm doing this, and that's why I'm going to the washing machine every time. So when I do a washing machine, it has a rinse cycle. So when I do the wash, I have to put soap in. So when I come to Narcotics Anonymous, I enter this machine. Not a washing machine, but the machine of recovery. You guys, I came to Narcotics Anonymous and I dove right in. I didn't dive in because I was going to be clean, because I was spiritual, because I wanted to serve. I dove right in because this was the same as another rehab. It was a jail cell. It was a corner. I did whatever you guys did. And we had tables at the clubhouse. It was called the Warehouse in Miami when I got clean. And if I got up at the end of that, and if they told me that we were going to go jack some cars, I would have just gone, oh, well, here we go again. And I would have gone and helped lift some cars. But they didn't. They wanted to go to the clock and drink coffee. And they said, you drink coffee? And I go, sure. I never drink coffee. Who the fuck drinks coffee? Are you fucking kidding me? You know? So I did this. And then, I don't know, I just kept doing the things that I was doing. Not because I was... We had a meeting the other night about being judgmental. And when I look at you guys, and my thinking, one is, what the fuck you're thinking about? Now I know what my wife's thinking. I think I know what she's thinking. I know what my friends are thinking. I think I know what they're thinking. I say I know what they're thinking, but I have no idea what they're thinking because I'm trying to read them. And Dave, you can't read until he's doing something with somebody else, and I read everything he's doing. But, so this is where, so everything that I do and say and learned in Narcotics Anonymous is totally contradictory to what I believe is really happening. I think I'm doing something, so I'm judging you, and I'm thinking what I think you're thinking about me, so I'm throwing it back at you. Not that I'm sitting here, because I'm thinking, and I'm watching how he's got his arms crossed, so I go, okay. He's going, when the fuck are you going to stop so I can come up here? I know you're not, but I'm thinking that, so I'm thinking back on him, and so now I already have a thought process that's going that is derived from nothing. It's nothing, but what's going on in here? And I have no idea what's going on, and I don't, but I go through the process, and so I'm always this fucked up. People say, you watch Seinfeld too much, and I go, no, I don't. I think too much, and then when I think that, I should stop before I talk, but I don't. So I have Robert, and I like to use this. Yeah, Robert. Robert follows me around and fixes me all the time. He's always, this way. Oh, no, you said that wrong. No, it's not that. So I use Robert. I used to think my wife knew everything until I met Robert. Now I know Robert knows everything. You know? So I don't know. So I used to do service. I used to do things to get it. You can't keep what you have unless you give it away. So I thought I was doing what I was doing to keep what I have. So it wore me out. Until I realized if I just gave it away to give it away, then I would get it. But when I gave it away to get it, I got lost in trying to give it away. And I didn't understand what was going on. I could tell you, hey, you got to keep coming back. Don't use, give it away. Just help somebody else that'll help you. But I didn't know what the fuck I was talking about. I knew the words. I could write about it on a stack. I could talk to my sponsor about it. But I didn't understand what it meant. I had no idea how it worked. I did. We got married 25 years ago, about, for a while. I did the laundry one time. She didn't let me do the laundry anymore. You know why? Not because I did it wrong, not for anything, but I threw all the clothes in all together. Because my theory was, as I wear them all together, why can't I wash them all together? So the whole wash and rinse, so then it brings me into shampoo. So when I wash and then rinse, on the shampoo it says rinse and repeat. So it says I got to do it again. So if my recovery is a washing machine and I'm washing and it rinses, then I got to repeat. And I know it's two different things, but I realize that what I know today, I don't know today. I tell you, I don't know anything, but when you're saying something and doing something, I tell you right away what you need to do. Right? Don't I? Dave? See? I do. And I have no idea. I'll tell you straight, I don't know what I need to do. I got to ask my sponsor. And then when he tells me, I go, what the fuck do you know? You don't know anything. And I tell him all the time, listen, I'm from Miami, and I'm really pasty white guy. I'm a little sissy. I was never in a gang. I never had a gun except in the Army. They gave me a gun, you know, so I had to shoot it. But, you know, but my sponsor is a Latin guy from New York. So there's two things. And he's a Yankees fan. And he's my sponsor. And I love him more than I could even imagine loving somebody that isn't like my wife and a friend. I just have these feelings for him. But if I were to have to make a list of who I would want for a sponsor and what he would have to look like and act like, it had none of John's attributes. But today, I couldn't live with anybody that doesn't act like John. That doesn't do what he says. That doesn't just look at me the way he looks at me, and I know I'm in trouble. You know? And when I say in trouble, I mean in a good way. You know what I mean? Like, this guy cares enough about me to be concerned and tell me things. So I'm wondering, what am I doing here? I had 16 years clean, and I read, Who is an Addict? And it said, I read this. I used to go to the meetings early and make sure, because in Miami you get there early and you grab it. And I always grabbed this because I swore, and I didn't want to swear as much, so I thought there were less S's in it. And even talking about S's makes me swear. And so I was always embarrassed about everything I was and who I was. And I know you guys were full of shit when you said you didn't even notice that I sweared. And I thought, you pieces of shit, you can't even be honest with me, right? And you're telling me to be honest. So anyway, so it says very simply, an addict is a man or woman whose life is controlled by drugs. And I used to say, it isn't about the drugs, but it is. I am up here today because of drugs. Not in a negative way. I got here because of drugs, and I stay here because of drugs. Because I don't want to do drugs. Because you know what? On another piece of paper, it said drugs in one form or another. So now it's not about using. It is. It's all about using for me. Because if I take one, I'm gone. And I could be a martyr, say, oh, blah, 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 blah. I don't know what's going to happen to me. Because they tell me if I stay clean, then I can't predict my future. If I want to predict my future, all I got to do is use. And you guys told me on this other one. Jail, institutions, and death. So I don't know. So I don't know what God... So I read it. It said, a man or woman's life controlled by drugs. I went in the second edition, the first... I thought they changed it in the middle of everything. But 16 years clean. I wasn't ready to know what I had no idea. I read it, and even today, I probably read this, I don't know. I know 16 years was the first time that I went to a meeting and I said, okay, I'm not going to read it. And it only lasted a couple months. I tried to change. But I didn't hear it. I wasn't ready to hear it. I didn't know what it meant. I tell you things, and I'm not telling you because I know. I'm telling you because I need to learn those things. And somebody told me that. People talk about what they need to learn the most. And I go, yeah, cool. But I had no idea what he meant. he was telling me to shut the fuck up. You need to practice what you're doing. I didn't see that. I saw that, you know, that guy over there is who he was talking about that was sharing in the meeting that I thought was an idiot. You know what I mean? So, because I'm thinking that. So, just recently, a couple years ago, it says, I don't even know what it says. It says, what's the first one in, why are we here? Oh, before coming to the fellowship of NA, we could not manage our own lives. I go, that's fucking incredible. When they put that in there? The same thing. Went back, looked through there, it didn't change. And so I'm going through my recovery, and I find these things, and I say these things, and I don't realize that I'm aping it. I'm still aping it. I'm still doing today what I think you want me to do. But what it turned into is what I think you want me to do is what I need to do to stay clean to be able to come up here and do what I'm doing. That's all you want from me. You don't necessarily want me to come up here, but you don't want me to go use. You don't even know me. So, but just knowing I'm clean and in Narcotics Anonymous, you don't want me to go use. And why do I say that? Because I don't want you to use. Do I love everybody here? I don't know everybody here. But I love what you represent. When you sit in the seat, you represent me when I got here, when you're new. And if you're here before me, like Alex got 5 or 6 years on me. When you're here before me, you represent where I want to be. See, I want things to get better too, but I want nothing to change. It don't make sense. I want my life to be easy, but I'll tell you that we have our biggest strait through our biggest losses and the most pain in our life, that through adversity is where we gain our most strength, but I don't want any adversity in my life. But today, I cherish grief. I cherish the fact, too, that when something's going on in your life and you're part of my circle, that you call me and I get to go sit there in your living room while you're grieving. I get to go buy you coffee while you're grieving. I get to hug your mother while you're grieving, or wash your dishes, or go cook food with you while you're grieving. That you want me in your life today. That's it, you know? And I'm just thinking about the dumb fucking subject that we have, but how it invokes a lot of thought in me. That I have no idea what I'm doing here, but I know exactly what I'm doing here. I know why I'm here, and I know what I want to do, and today I got everything I want. You know why? Because you told me that I should only want what I need. Is that always true? No. I got a little boat. I need a bigger table. I got a little boat. I want a bigger boat. But that's my wife. She's like, yeah, right. You're going to take care of that one too. You don't need to take care of the little boat you got. You're not taking care of the bigger boat, but I want a bigger boat. Do I want a bigger house? Of course I do. But I don't even take care of the house that I got. But I love the house of the God. It needs shit. It's got shit all over. The minute she tells me that I still got to clean something, or, hey, you haven't done that, in my head I go, well, what about that door you haven't painted? She said, hearing about the door. She's going to ask me what door I'm talking about later on. Right? So, you know, that's my disease. Is that my will? So then now I look and I go, my will. Somebody take my will back. I don't take my will back. You know what my will is? It's for everybody here to like me. Is to be a good son, to be a good father, a good brother. That's my will. My disease's will? It's not for me to die. Because if I die, my disease is dead. My disease wants me to use. And in the interim, my body, my finances, your finances and your shit can't handle my using. I can't stay up as long as my disease wants me to stay up and keep using. I can't go to work anymore because my disease wants it. It doesn't want me dead, but I just can't stop using. So when I do use, if I do use, when I do something, when I act out, I don't take my will back. I'm listening to my disease. Because my will is still to be good. I still want to be a good guy. I don't want to lie. I don't want to half. If somebody says, hey, do you lie to your wife? I go, through omission. We were talking. One time she said, hey, did you get a ticket I need to know about? I go, no. About an hour later, she come back and she goes, "Did you get a ticket?" I go, "Absolutely." "But you did not need to know about it. I got the ticket. I paid for it. I mailed the money before I even got home. But I still got that fucking ambulance chaser that sent me the thing in the mail. The attorney that wants to defend us, that cocksucker, every time he tells it. He don't even know me and he rat me out. Jesus Christ. You know, is that the rent? Or is he putting me through the fucking washing machine? Right? What's going on here? It's so confusing. So I don't know, you know, I don't know what I'm doing. So anyway, and I lose it. I got, like now, right before the washing machine, I have no idea what I was talking about before the washing machine. And sometimes I go, wow, I'm 61 this year. And I remember I used to think I wasn't going to live past 30. But in the next breath, I say, I'm going to be an old guy smoking a joint in a rocking chair in a house. In a time when I couldn't stop smoking crack, I didn't have a house, I didn't have a job, my teeth were falling out. So in one sentence, slash two, I could contradict everything that I thought that I was going to be. And I didn't want to be the old guy smoking a joint on a porch. I just didn't want to be that crackhead that had his teeth falling out, that it was a shame to go talk to his mother that couldn't start work anymore. That it's funny, we were comparing the other day, Ed's going, "I was 6'2 and weighed 128 pounds. I was 5'11, 118. You know, we're like, I was skinnier than you. I had a smaller belt. You know, I ate out of dirtier dumpsters than you, you know? And that's where my life was when I got here. That's who I was. That's where I held my badge of honor. I used to go, some guys say, "I smoked crack for 5 years." I go, "Hey, that's a junior addict. I smoked crack for 6 months. That's all I smoked crack for. And I weighed 118 pounds. I slept on Sundays because Sunday, the job I worked at wasn't open and I couldn't steal money and manipulate shit Sunday morning. So I had to fall asleep underneath the semi and they all thought I was dying from AIDS. Because of all the weight loss. And in 6 months, I went. So somebody said something about, I went and lost a little bit of weight lately, and somebody goes, "That's amazing." I go, "Yeah, without crack." Without crack, without steel. Listen, I got kids right now, I got a son that just graduated high school, never seen me high, never, once in a while, I'm a human being. I make mistakes, but I'm there every night for dinner. I'm always a Boy Scout, so I was a Boy Scout leader. I coach his team. I sponsor two of his teams. I want to give that boy everything I didn't have, but I'm trying to give him this much, and he just wants me. Because I'm trying to ease the pain of my past when he doesn't have any of that. I don't understand my son. Every time I get him, I go, "Hey, you want some money?" I tell him where I hide my money. Tell him where all my ones are and my change. And the fucking guy doesn't take any. I go, "Hey, you want some money?" He goes, "No." And I go, "Okay, fuck, I'm going to put some on your dresser." Fuck you. You know? He doesn't want it. My daughter, same thing. I don't understand that. But I am grateful that I don't understand that. And I don't understand that because I didn't live that way. I only understand my life. And I grew up as an addict in a house that didn't have, I didn't have my father there. Didn't have anything. When I did have my father, when he did show up, if he wasn't too drunk or if he had a guy that could drive him over there, when we left the house, it's funny, he'd take me right to the bar. And he'd hand me a bunch of quarters and I'd play pool and listen to all the guys during the day cheating and complaining about their wives. And I was a little kid, and I go, "I can't wait till I get one of those." And not even a week after I was married, and then, queen, 20-something years later, somebody said something, I go, "The bitch won't let me." Well, I heard that in the bar. That fucking ball and chain, that bitch said this, and now I got to say it. And so then I had to I'm going, "Holy cow." So I called Tom. I go, "Tom, what am I doing?" He goes, "Well, we got to reprogram you. You're just trying to do what you wanted to do as a kid. You wanted to fit in with those guys." So I wanted to fit in and I wanted to be, but it said, "Hey, you got to be authentic and be you, but I don't know who I am. I still don't know who I am." But I know who I'm not now. I'm not a thief and a liar and a cheat. But I can be, because I have that. The problem is with me, so I got three voices in my head that all have the same voice. That's me, my disease, and my higher power. Whenever any three of those talk in my head, it's the same voice. The only one that's different, when my sponsor talks, it's in his voice. When my wife talks, it's in her voice. So when different people talk to me, that's why I need you guys. I need your voices in my head. Because those three voices, my disease, my higher power, and myself, they all sound the same. So there's a lot of times that I got to figure out which one's talking to me. And so if somebody says, if I got to say, oh, I got it, I know it wasn't my higher power. When my higher power talks, I never am confused about what it is or whether I should do it. I never had to call my sponsor and say, hey, you think I should put some money in the basket? Hey, you think I, you know what I mean? Should I help this person? Should I do? I never had to second guess that. So I always find that I got to second guess anything that might not be spiritual. And when I say spiritual in a positive way, because when I got here, I was spiritual, very spiritual. And the dark side, my disease is a spirit. And if I don't believe that my disease is a spirit, then I believe it's something other than what it is. And it's in between. So it's got to be a spirit. So I have my disease spirit. People go, oh, with the devil and God and the devil and God. And it's not. It's just a bad part of me that was running my life. And they used to say, and some people still say, that my worst day in NA is better than my best day out there using. And then they're like, what the fuck are you talking about? But when I looked at it, for me, when I did my fit, I never had a full, complete day that was good. Unless I was tripping long enough to fall into another day or something. But every time I used, or near the end, my life was filled with darkness. So when a little light come in, it was like if you turned all these lights on and you lit up one birthday candle. You can only see the light, and you know it's only going to last for 6 minutes, and it's going to burn out, and you're back in the darkness. And in Narcotics Anonymous, I have all this light, and if I have a little bit of darkness here, I know that when I open it up, it's gone. That I'm surrounded by light. So that's what they mean. That's what I think they mean. But just because I think that's what they mean, it doesn't mean it's true. But it works for me. And I hear stuff, and like, how's he going to say something? I go, wow, look at that. And I'm going to hear it, and I'm going to own it, and that's going to be my new belief. And so I look at stuff that comes in, it's a washing machine. I get through it, I'm going to get stuff at this convention. I get stuff when I work stuff with my sponsors. I get stuff when I work stuff with my sponsor. I get stuff. And so the rinse is what comes out of it. So that's the only way I can make sense of that. And does that mean that's true? No. But it makes it okay for me today. But come tomorrow, I'll probably never want to say that saying again. Because it's ridiculous. But we use it. We say dumb shit. You know what I mean? So anyway, I didn't know what to talk about other than it doesn't matter what I talk about. It doesn't matter what I say. It doesn't matter what you get out of it. Nothing matters. But to me, everything matters. And it doesn't make sense. But nothing, you could tell yourself, I could say, hey, this is what I'm going to do. And you go, no, you're not going to do it. And I go, oh, okay. And I won't do it. It won't matter. But if I go, hey, I'm going to do this. And you go, okay. I go, all right. And then I'll do it. And I do a lot of stuff that way. Why? Because all of our steps say we. And I still have a God of your understanding, because without you, I couldn't understand God the way I understand Him. The spiritual principles are still we, because I'm learning what you guys do. Not what you say, but like Patty said earlier, what you guys do. We all talk. Don't worry. I'm glad we got a timer here. I got maybe one more minute, something like that. It'll be. But I use this thing for my home group. But or maybe I should turn the volume on. So I have beliefs today, and what I believe is that what I believe today is true for me, and it works for me, and that what I do today is spiritual in nature, that I don't do anything today to hurt anybody, and that I can't give enough. And sometimes there's a line in the I think it's the It Works Out Why that says we all put in our fair share, and it talks about the seventh tradition. But I look at the emotional spirit seventh tradition, and I look about that I can never put enough money in the basket. I can never do enough service. I can never help enough people. I can never give. Because when I'm giving, it's diluted because there's 30 people here. And so I'm diluted 30 times. But when you guys give it to me, I got 30 times the help and the aid and the guidance from you guys. So there's no way I'm ever able to match what you guys are giving me. And this is a small meeting. Go to the meeting earlier. It's a big meeting. It's a lot of shit. I'm not there. You know what happened? My wife, she said, this much money, probably $1,000, fell out of my pocket in the seat, which on the floor. The guy goes, hey, you dropped your money. And then I was like, damn it, did you have to say that so loud that she heard it? Because now I should go, what are you doing? How did that fall out of your pocket? What the fuck? Even though she wouldn't say what the fuck. But anyway, so I don't know anything about the washing machine. And I don't know what it means. But I know that I think it means that I got to keep putting stuff in and then stuff comes out. But when I put stuff in, I don't need to expect stuff to come out. It just does happen. And that's it. Thanks for letting me share.
Next speaker is Hal.
I was going to say, what you do, leave your timer here? Anyway, I'm an addict named Hal. You know, it's funny, man. Thank you for sharing. You know what? You know, when I found out about this topic, I was thinking about how this relates to our fourth and fifth step. You know, and the reality of it is, I don't know about you, but I was misinformed my whole life until I came into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, right? And, you know, and a little story is, you know, I was raised, I had divorced parents. I've never felt love for my mom. She was always there for my sister. I was highly activated in sports, state champ swimming, very active. My mom never showed up. My dad lived not even a quarter mile away from me, never showed up. I was getting loaded. I remember we were in the championship baseball game, and it was around the corner from my dad's house, and we won, right? And I remember, you know, I lived in Queens at that time, right? And he lived in like this beautiful building. You have a doorman, you know what I'm saying? Like, whatever. So I went to the front. The doorman said he wasn't there. I went around the corner. My dad was in the window, you know, smoked a joint on my way there. So I threw a brick through his window. He came out, beat the shit out of me. He turned around, I picked up my baseball bat, and I fucked him up. My father ended up getting me arrested, putting a restraining order on me. About 12, 13 at that age. So the next heavy thing that happened for me was that my grandmother passed away. Got heavily into more drugs. My mother was just not present for me. Saw the movie Easy Rider, and changed my life. You know, I was dealing weed already. I had a customer that used to ride, he had a Sportster, and I'll never forget it, man. I gave him a half ounce a week to teach me how to ride his bike, and I stole his bike a week later. Leaving my house. You know, I left my house at an early age, and I became I ended up leaving there, going to the Bronx, and bumped into a motorcycle club and became a member of the club. And what I know is that I was in search of a father my whole life, right? And these men taught me what family was, I thought. And the reason why I'm sharing about this is this, like, I grew up, like, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything, right? And this club gave me everything. You know, they forced me to go to school. I was making $1,000 a week, had my own apartment, had a motorcycle. Life was good. So we got raided, you know, and I remember it was April 3rd, 1979. I was on the news getting arrested and never called my mom to let her know where I was and the neighborhood I grew up in. They were all knocking on her door. She ended up bailing me out of Rikers Island. And I remember telling my mom I'd be right back, and she didn't see me again for a few years, you know, and continued to use to live. And, you know, and all this was in my fourth step, you know. It's like, for me, it's like, you know, I think about all of this, like a big part of my disease is the feelings and the emotions of abandonment, no love, no father. These guys taught me a new way of life. You know, I don't know about you guys, but what I know for me today, right, is that I believe the wash and the rinse is that you do a serious fourth step and the rinse are the result from your step work, right? What I can tell you is that, you know, I got clean, my mother became ill, I moved my mother from New York to California. Oh, well, I should actually share about some before that, you know, show you how fucked up I was. You know, before I hit bottom, I used to live in Hollywood, California, and I went to a bank. There was a Security Pacific Bank on Hollywood Boulevard in Formosa, right? And I was so loaded, I closed out my own bank account, right? And I stuck up the same fucking teller that I just closed my account out with, right? What a fucking idiot, right? And if they had the world's dumbest fucking criminals, I probably would have been on TV again, right? And, you know, and the truth of the matter is, man, that was God working in my life. You know, that got me into a treatment facility that introduced me to the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. Relapse is not a part of my story. But I can tell you my first few years were etchy. You know, but what I can tell you is, you know, what's funny is, you know, throughout my disease and before I got clean, man, I'll share about a resentment that was in my first four step is that, you know, I ended up doing 2 years. You know, I used to like doing armed robberies, you know, in jewelry stores, right? And I had this badass diamond ring, right? And it was my mom's birthday, so I dropped this ring off at my mom's house for her birthday, right? And a few years after that, well, I found this out after I got clean, a detective saw her in the window at a dine in a restaurant. I was like, oh, that's a gorgeous ring. Where did you get that? And she was like, oh, my son got this for me for my birthday. You know, and I went to jail and I caught a resentment, like, how could she rat her own kid out, right? And, you know, and I ended up getting clean, man, and my mom had a heart attack, and I had a little over 4 or 5 months clean, and I moved to California, and I ended up taking care of her for my first 5 years clean. You know, and what a journey that was. You know, because I became the parent and she became the child, man. I used to have to change her diapers and do everything, and I was trying to stay clean. You know, I had a moment when all of that happened. You know, my past came back to me, and I just went shopping, and the feds were waiting for me, and I got arrested under a secret indictment, and I was like, hey, man, can I bring the food in for my mom? And you know, I got locked up for a few months, and I ended up beating it because of doing an inventory. You know, what I can tell you is that, man, the honesty of an inventory and having a great sponsor telling you, dude, you need to go take care of this, you know, saved my life, and that's why I'm here today, right? What I could also tell you is that, you know, when I was locked up, I found out, you know, my father was a millionaire and never gave my mother money. I could tell you that I didn't understand that, you know. What I found out by staying clean and taking care of my mother is that I found out the truth, that I got a lot of answers, and it wasn't that my mother never loved me. My mother had two jobs, to raise my sister and I to pay the bills and provide food, and found all this stuff out, and my mom passed away in my arms. And what I could tell you is that I was a devastated boy. Because I found out, you know, we had this tough exterior, and the reality of it is all I wanted to do was hear my mom and say she was proud of me, and I was a little mama's boy my whole fucking life and never knew it, right? And I remember when my mom passed, I wasn't really ready for it. It was like I was in the hospital room, and I kept slapping her to smoke a Camel non-filter with me, and she never woke up. You know, and what I didn't realize was the blessing of what the program has already given me, right? And the reality of it is that, man, I had two kids prior to that. I was looking for them, didn't find them. They ended up finding me. I have my two older boys in my life that are 39 and 37. I'm a single father. I have twins that are 10 years old. And I believe God gave me another opportunity to do the right thing. It's like, you know, it's funny, man. I turned out to be the same piece of shit my father was with my first two kids, right? We usually turn out to be the person we hate the most, right? And, you know, I used to thought I was a great father because I used to send money back to my ex-wife while I was locked up. You know, I'm a good provider, right? That's what the disease told me, you know? And what I've learned by staying clean is that being a provider isn't a father. Being emotionally, physically, spiritually, going through everything, like our speaker shared a little earlier, you know, graduating high school, going to sporting events, being there, being present. You know, I'm tired. It's like I've been up since yesterday. Talk about fucking wash and rinse, right? Whether I'm fucking caffeine and Red Bull, right? Keep coming back, right? And, you know, and the truth of the matter is that, man, it's like I'm on a vacation. It's like, you guys don't understand. It's like, I have 50% custody of my twins, man, and what I can tell you is that my life has changed tremendously, right? It's like, I understood the speaker earlier about being in the fetal position. You know, we talk about relationships, and what I can tell you is the relationship that I have today with my God and my sponsor and my sponsees, and with myself today, I'm at peace. You know, it's funny, man, my life is so drama-free. You know, it's funny, man, I never had a job until I got clean. I'm retired. I collect a union pension, right? I have medical benefits for my children and myself. I live a real comfortable life. And I do what I love most. I go to work in my garage, in my boxers, drinking coffee at 6 a.m. in the morning, building motorcycles. What a fucking life Narcotics Anonymous gave me, right? And, you know, and it's funny, man, because it's like, you know, when I first got clean, right? I don't know about you, you do time, right? And you think about, I need to catch up, right? I need to fuck more women, excuse my language, right? Because I've missed out on so many years, right? I need to catch up, right? And that will never fucking happen, you know? That's just true fucking denial, right? You know, and then we get clean and we see these beautiful things and we go, oh, yeah, we'll get married, get the picket fence and all that other shit. Marriage ain't for me. Just, it ain't me. I don't know how to do a honey-do list, right? I'm a great provider, but I don't know how to be present. You know, and I've learned that from my second marriage. You know, what I can tell you is that, you know, my divorce devastated me, but what I can tell you is that we could get through anything clean. Right, it took me 7 years before I went back on the dating scene. And I was seeing this woman that was an amazing woman, right? She had her own business, financially stable, just had everything, man. I just couldn't give her what she wanted. And we're still best friends today, right? And what I've learned, right, is that I'm able to tell the truth today. You know, and that's the big thing, is that my mouth is getting dry again. What I've learned what came out for me is, you know, the integrity that this program has taught me about honesty, right? What the program has taught me about, you know what, man, is that if you're of service, you're honest, you have integrity, and most of all, that you just keep giving away what you got, man, life could only get better, right? It's like I flew out here on my birthday, right? I actually turned 59 Thursday. Never thought I'd make it that far, right? And my sponsees, I had 7 sponsees take me out for my birthday, right? They thought I was 60, the motherfuckers. Just give them all writing assignments for that one. But, you know, but the truth of the matter is, man, that's love that I get in return. You know, it's like even earlier, it's like we went out for lunch, man, I'm not used to people treating me. It's like I'm always the person treating others, right? And I don't know how to accept that stuff in my life, right? Because I'm financially stable, got my shit together, and it's hard for me to receive help or love, or why not allow them to give me that gift, right? And what's funny is that what I'd share with you is just like, you know, Father's Day. My 2 twins at 10 years old cooked me breakfast, vacuumed my house, right? Made my bed, right? They did the same thing for me for my birthday, right? Then I have my older kid. I kind of got jealous. Your kid didn't take your fucking money. Do you want to trade kids? Then I got another kid, right? No, this is the first birthday I haven't spent with him. He was born on my birthday. And he's in Las Vegas gambling the money that he borrowed from me. And it feels awkward not to be with him. Right? What's funny is that on Father's Day, I had all my kids at my house. I had all my grandkids. I even had my great-grandson at my house, right? I don't know what to tell you about that. It's like I'm 59. I got a great-grandson. Fucks me up. I love holding my grandkids. I love being there. I love being a father today. It's like I've changed my life. My life is boring. You know, my biggest problem is me and my thinking. It's like what I've learned, for me it would be nice to have a significant other. It's like people tripped on like COVID and all this shit, man. I love being alone. It's easier, you know what I'm saying? And what I've learned is that I don't need another person in my life to make me feel whole, right? But what I can tell you is that what I've learned is that I have a gift, right? And the gift is that I have a message. You know, I work steps on a continuous basis with my sponsees. My sponsor and I have our sponsorship group every Monday on Zoom. I have a sponsee meeting every Wednesday. We do a great grand sponsor meeting with all our sponsees and their sponsees every quarter. You know, we just continuously keep giving this gift away, right? And what I can tell you is for where I'm at, it's like, what's funny for me, it's like, man, this is, like Kevin told me about this convention. I was going to the Saturday morning speaker meeting out here, right, on Zoom. And he told me about it. I was like, fuck, man, I'm going to treat myself for my birthday to go out there, right? And here I am at the podium just like you, bro. Like, what the fuck? I want to just come out here, smoke cigars, and talk shit. Because I love talking shit, right? And the reality of it is that, man, just grateful. You know, what I can tell you is that no matter what happens, I know I'm going to be okay. You know, and it's funny, man, it's like I hope some Zoom meetings stay going. I think that's an amazing thing. I fought Zoom at the beginning, but what I know is today is that, man, miracles continuously happen in those rooms, right? And for those addicts that weren't at a meeting for over a year, it's like I know a few of them, you know, I just love it. It's like I got this one dude that came to my house that's a member of my home group. He's never been to a live meeting, and he came to my house so I could fix his motorcycle, right? And I also sell literature for my area, right? you shared about, are you afraid or not? It's like my area literature person was scared and all this shit. So I got people coming to my house buying literature. Right? I don't give a fuck. I ain't in fear. I'm a firm believer, man, that God has a plan for me. And the reason why I say that is, I'll share this about how my life has changed. I was 41. I worked in the film industry. I was about ready to go to Japan. It was a day one of our predecessors passed away, the Beaver. They were having his services and I had a massive heart attack. 41 years old. Tore 95% of all my muscle and tissue in my heart, right? And what I can tell you is, man, when I went under, my side of the street was clean. And I was kind of pissed off that I woke up. But what I can tell you is, man, that I went through a 9-month rehab, and I'll never forget, man, I went to rehab, and there was these people that were like 60, 70 years, 80 years old on treadmills, right? And, being a good addict that I am, I'll wear my sneakers, put my Adidas suit on, we're going to go do these things. They put this treadmill on 0.1, and I couldn't even do it, and these old motherfuckers were like at 2.9, right? So I walked out, called my sponsor, Bob, these motherfuckers, man, could you believe they're putting me through this treadmill shit, man? I don't need this shit, right? He goes, where are you at? I was like, I'm walking home. He goes, good, I'll be at your house, right? My sponsor picked me up and brought me back to the fucking PE, and he went with me for fucking about 2-3 weeks every day. He'd come pick me up because he loved me enough to get me to the other side, right? What I could tell you is that I don't know how much time I got. I don't know what time it is. I know I'm tired. I'm fucking hot up here, so I'm irritated. I want air conditioning. But the reality of it is, man, it's all about fourth and fifth step, this wash and rinse. The reality of it is, it's not only about the fourth and fifth. I'm also a firm believer that it's about 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. If you truly want to get down to it, those are the steps that will change your life, right? What I can tell you is that there's a lot of things that I've done clean that I have regrets. It's like a lot of people get clean. It's like, I shared about this, and I'll share about it here too. I don't give a shit. I never had a job until I got clean, man. I got clean and I lived a dual life for 2-3 years. I still did armed robberies clean. Our predecessors just kept loving me, telling me their life could get better. Right? And I love when you say about reading the literature. That's why my home group is Tuesday night, primary purpose step study. I love our literature. Our literature saves our lives. And with that, thank you for letting me share.
Thanks everyone who shared for a good meeting. I guess I'll take us out. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Keep coming back.